Hi listeners, welcome to the first episode of Talking Influence, where we'll be focusing on people, places and progression within the influencer marketing community. If you haven't already, then you can go back and listen to our trailer to find out a little bit more about Talking Influence and what we do. We've decided to broaden our platform from website content and events to the world of podcasting. The idea of the podcast is to chat with key players within the influencer marketing industry about what influences them, focusing on three main areas: their personal influences, their professional influences, and what influences their future and growth. To begin, I'll start with a roundup of the last month at Talking Influence. If you aren't already familiar, Talking Influence hosts yearly awards and events. Over the past month, we've announced the return of the Influencer Marketing Awards, which will be taking place in July, and the Influencer Marketing Show Global, which will be hosted online in April. Links to these events will be in the podcast description, so if you're interested in tickets, entering the awards, or becoming a judge, we would love for you to get involved. So I guess I will also briefly introduce myself so that you know who you're listening to. I'm Neve and I am the staff writer at Talking Influence. I only started the role at the beginning of January, but I'm loving the opportunity to shape the content on Talking Influence and, of course, the new opportunity of starting a podcast. So with the admin out of the way, it's time to get into the first episode. In each episode, we'll be talking to a different key player within the influence marketing industry. Today, we have our first ever guest, Rahul Titus. Rahul has been in the influence marketing industry for over 10 years now, but in 2017, he started the role that he's in currently as head of influence at Ogilvy. Rahul sets the strategic direction of the Ogilvy influence concept, covering the team's full spectrum of influencer work, from celebrities all the way to micro-influencers. Rahul is responsible for providing the best influencer marketing tools to names such as Bacardi, Vans, TK Maxx, TikTok, PlayStation, and so many more. Rahul started his journey with Ogilvy as a media planning intern in 2013. So it's great to admire how much Rahul has achieved throughout his career. Without further ado, it's time to welcome Rahul. You had a good morning so far?
Yes, it's been a very productive morning. I've just come off a call with my team for, you know, so we do like a catch up every other day, especially because we're out of the office.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to basically have those water cooler moments. So it's just nice to like chat to them and just kind of have a catch up across everything. And the Wednesday catch ups are actually not work related at all. I actually ban talking about work on Wednesdays. I've seen it make such a difference when people have a chance to talk about things that are not work related, because that's, you know, let's be honest, like we all do that at work.
So after a quick catch up with Rahul, it was time to get into the podcast.
This is exciting.
I love it. I am definitely glad and very honored to be the first guest. So this is brilliant.
Yeah, so if we jump in, I would like you to start by talking about your personal influences. So what has influenced your personal life, your passions, your interests? Basically, what has influenced you to be the person that you are sat here today?
I grew up in an Indian family in Bangalore, in India. So growing up in India, you know, in Bangalore is a silicon capital of India. So I grew up in the 90s in an India that had just gone through globalization. I was probably part of the first generation of Indians where you thought anything was possible. So I grew up going to school with kids whose parents own startups and IT companies, doing incredibly well. And I think that really influenced me as well. I think growing up, I'm very conscious of the fact that my parents always taught me that I could do whatever I wanted to do. So for me, you know, and that was really important, because for me, even today, I look at a challenge and I go, I can definitely do that, mainly because of how much confidence they gave me. So whilst I did a degree in finance and economics, I ended up in advertising, and that's not a very typical Indian, career. I think most people would assume you'd become a doctor or an engineer and things like that. But I think I had a very supportive family growing up who were very happy for me to do what I wanted to do. I mean, they always, you know, were very supportive of me. So I still remember, even when I was doing my finance and economics degree, I wanted to do an internship in advertising. And they were very happy for me to go and do that. Funnily enough, the first ever, I mean, like the reason I ended up in advertising actually goes back a lot further. So I remember I was 12 years old and I was gifted the book Ogilvy on Advertising. I've got a first edition of that book, funnily enough. I'm not even joking. And this is my first ever, and I mean, I love reading, but this is my first ever advertising book. And I remember reading through it and being absolutely fascinated by Ogilvy on Advertising.
Were you gifted that book because you had expressed an interest in advertising, or were you just gifted the book because you liked reading and somebody just...
Well, my dad works in marketing generally. So I've always grown up around marketing per se. But then he had the book and he was like, you know what, you should read this, because I'd gone through, I was an avid reader. I still am. I read a lot of books. So I'd kind of finish all the books in the house. And he was like, do you want to read some of my professional books? I was like, sure, why not? Give it to me. I'll happily read it. And I remember reading through it and genuinely just kind of going, oh my God, this is amazing. You can influence people to buy things. And I was like, this is great. I definitely want to be doing this. And then basically, I read it and I've always been fascinated by advertising from that point on. Like you don't, like I was saying earlier, you don't realize how much it really helps you. So for example, like I do run my team new business, and obviously we are always, you know, looking at, you know, getting new clients. We're working with lots of numbers all the time. So all of that really helps. So I think people who start, you know, because I mean, I do a lot of interviews and I get people in, and, you know, sometimes I hear a lot of people coming into the industry say things like, oh, I really wanted to influence marketing, but my degree is in psychology, or I really wanted to influence marketing, but my degree is in XYZ, or I don't have a degree. Absolutely fine. You know, I've got apprentices on my team who don't have degrees at all, and that's absolutely okay. And what I always say to them is that I don't care what your degree is in. I don't care if you have a degree or not. As long as you have a genuine interest in the field and you can learn on the job. It's absolutely fine. So something I would say to people starting off in industry is, don't be worried about how you got here. Everything is going to come into hand. Just be confident that you are doing what you need to be doing, and you're happy doing what you're doing, and you'll be absolutely fine.
You say obviously you started working in the influence marketing industry before it was an industry really, and obviously started in finance. So what was it that made you realize that influencers were a thing and that there was sort of scope with that? What influenced you to go away from the finance and towards influencer marketing? What was it that you sort of noticed?
So I have a degree in finance and economics. And when I was younger, my dream was to be an Egyptologist. I'm not even joking. My dream was to basically go dig out graves in Egypt. Very, very quickly. And you know what? My parents are lovely. Took me, you know, to go do all of that. And I think very, very quickly, I realized that there's not much to explore in Egypt. And it's something that was already done quite a long time ago. And obviously being, you know, from an Indian background, I've also got parents who are very, very driven and very, you know, like very Indian, stereotypical doctor, engineer kind of thing. So I was like, actually, maybe an Egyptologist is not the best job for me. Ended up doing a degree in finance and economics, and then got a job at Goldman Sachs, funnily enough, straight after. I really didn't want to work in finance. It was just not something I wanted to do. And then, funnily enough, 2 months before I was supposed to start, I just started panicking and I was like, I really don't want to do this. Applied for a master's at the University of Manchester, got in, and then basically never started at Goldman Sachs and completed my master's instead. I think, you know what, I'd done my degree, I'd done 3 years of finance and economics, and I was like, actually, I've got that, and I'm done with that. So I went into my master's in marketing and then got a job at Dentsu Aegis. was my first agency, doing SEO content, funnily enough. So that's, you know, and then at that point, obviously people were working with bloggers, you know, for link building. So basically raising the profile of websites on the SEO, you know, side on like the Google ranking pages. And it was really tedious and quite dull. And I was like, there has to be something better than this. Like, this is so formulaic, like we can do better. And then basically went on to set up the SEO content team at Dentsu Aegis. And then left Dentsu, joined Mediacom, basically doing a very similar job. And then I think that's when, you know, and this is a time when we were seeing, again, things, this is 2003, 2004-ish. And you were starting to see people like Zoella come up. You were starting to see Pixivo and all of the OG, you know, influencers on YouTube. And I was like, there is something here. There's definitely something here. And nobody had explored it at this time. I mean, there was not a lot of branded campaigns. I think it was zero branded campaigns. And I basically saw an opportunity and went to the CEO of Mediacom at that time and basically pitched the idea. I was like, there's this thing coming up on YouTube called influencer marketing and nobody's doing it yet, but I think we could be one of the first people to do it and do it properly. And Mediacom is a great agency, part of the WPP family. And, you know, they were always very supportive and they said, you know what, do it, like go and try it out. So I went and sold my first influencer marketing campaign with Tanya Burr, to Revlon, funnily enough, all those years ago. It was for their whole foundation range. And it was painful, I'm not going to lie, because again, at that point, trying to get a brand and an influencer to collaborate, and they've never done this before. And you know, brands work in a certain way and influencers are, you know, who they are for, and, you know, like got to where they get to because of, you know, because of what they do. So trying to really find that middle ground was very painful. But we did it and it was an incredibly good campaign. And, you know, you could just see those numbers, you know, so when we got that video out, I still remember sat down with, the client and you could see the numbers go up and you're like, and like, you could see the penny drop. And I think at that point I was like, yep, this is definitely something we should be pursuing. So I basically set up the influencer marketing team at Mediacom, which is one of the first teams in the world to actually do it. And the rest is history. So started in SEO content. I mean, actually started as, you know, wanting to be an Egyptologist and ended up in influencer marketing, which is, you know, and to be honest, I wouldn't change it for the world. So, and there's a lot of influencers that have actually helped me get here. I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing right now if I didn't have my basics in SEO, because I think what that really taught me is actually how important measurement is and then how important it is to really look beyond things like likes and engagement. Because again, like solid data is what clients want to see. And influencer content can be considered fluffy. So really trying to meet, you know, make those two things meet comes from my strong background in measurement and finance and, you know, things like that. So I can definitely see how every single influence along that journey has actually helped me do my job better today. And I think, you know, and I've always said this, I think people always assume, oh, you've always loved YouTube. And yes, like growing up as a 15, 16-year-old when YouTube was first out, I still remember watching, channels like Charlie McDonald. Yeah, like I grew up watching them. I still remember watching YouTube. I'm like, this is really cool. I really like these people. You know, lo and behold, I'm here working in that field and I've met Charlie a million times. So at the end of the day, like, I think it's all influenced me, but I still remember watching those channels when I was growing up and thinking, actually, there's nobody like me on any of these channels. Like, so one of the things I've always said is YouTube was great and I always loved YouTube, but I couldn't relate to anybody. I loved it. I absolutely loved all these people, but there was nobody I could relate to because there weren't any people of, people of color. There weren't very influencers who were not white, middle class, and spoke a certain way. So a lot of my childhood, basically, you kind of looked at that and said, that's what you do if you're a, you know, like a YouTuber is a white middle class person. So I think something I always said, even when I started working in the field, is that, you know what, when you have the power to influence the industry, then you should use that power to basically hold the industry accountable. So I've spent the last few years, especially the last, 2 years or so, really focusing on making sure that we're actually diversifying the influencer marketing landscape generally, focusing on things like the pay gap and stuff like that. But I think in hindsight, it's funny how all those small things here and there growing up has really influenced who you become today.
So yeah, that sort of goes on to the next question of what are the main influences for your future, and how would you see yourself growing? How would you see the industry growing, and what influences around you shape those thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot. I mean, like I said, 11 years later, I am still genuinely excited waking up every morning working in the industry. I look at this as my future. I look at it as my career. It's not something I'm doing for the short run. I mean, you can't, 11 years later anyways. But I think there's so many things that get me really excited in, waking up in the morning too. Firstly, I think the new talent coming into the field, I'm genuinely excited about that. I meet so many young people who are really excited about the industry, who see their career in it, and they know they can work in it and actually, further the industry generally, which is amazing. I'm genuinely excited about that. I mean, when I interview people, I genuinely get really excited meeting all these great people, because there's so many. I like to, the talent pool is so much bigger as well. There used to be a time when we used to, hire people, it used to take us a few months at a minimum, mainly because there was not the right kind of talent that we wanted to hire into the Ogilvy network. And now actually I'm seeing a lot more talent. So that's great. Something I'm genuinely excited about from an industry point of view is to basically look at where the influencer industry is going from a representation, a diversity and inclusion point of view. It's something I'm really passionate about. I talk about it quite a lot, and I think I will keep talking about it till people take notice, mainly because it's so important. So like I was saying, growing up, I didn't have a lot of influences from people like me. And I really want to change that for the future generation. I think given that I have that power to influence it, I really want to make sure that we are giving future people of color role models that they can look up to and go, actually, I can do this because this, person X and person Y is doing that. Then, nothing is impossible. And that's really important to me. So we're doing a lot of things around things like the pay gap. I talk a lot about the pay gap and how we're trying to reduce the pay gap. It is a real issue in the industry, and I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about it. I want us to have a genuine conversation openly to actually get people to realize it's an issue and actually how we move away from it. So there's lots of things we've already done at Ogilvy to basically start addressing the pay gap and making sure that it's not a thing, including, quotas. We're trying to be, what we call inclusive influence, so really going beyond that lip service. So that's really important. So I'd love to see the industry actually keep their, keep talking about it, one, and actually take some action around it. I did speak about it at the Influencer Marketing Show last year. So there's some points in terms of how I see that would happen. So if anybody's interested in that, I would happily have a conversation. So feel free to reach out to me, really important. And I'm seeing the industry change. So I'm seeing a lot more ad campaigns, a lot more social campaigns, being a lot more inclusive, trying, sometimes failing, but still trying. And that's the first step in the right direction. The other thing I'm genuinely excited about is actually taking the world of influencer marketing and then having a seat at the table. Because right now, a lot of influencer marketing is considered fluffy. It's still considered something you throw some budget to at the end of a campaign if you've got something left. And I really want to have a mature conversation, a grown-up conversation around influence. It's not a one-off thing where you have somebody posting with a product. Influence is so much bigger than that. It has the real power to transform the brand. And I want to have a conversation around it in terms of how you get there. So taking influence and really elevating it to make sure that you're part of the conversation, from the very start. Can you look at influence as part of your TV campaigns, your digital, your out of home, your print, your radio, really integrating influence to have a bigger impact, and then measuring the effectiveness of it to show the impact you're driving. So important. A lot of people aren't doing that yet, I don't think. So I want the industry to kind of, you know, take that forward. And in that same front, really take an influence commerce. So a lot of influence today is quite upper funnel. So if you look at a lot of awareness and, you know, like all of that, but actually I see a real impact for influence and conversion. So I want to see more players come in, not from very different fields. I'm talking about fields like social commerce, from fields like customer experience, to start making that transition into influence and really start influencing our industry to be doing a lot more in that field. So I'm looking for some new influences across the world to come into our field. And I think that's really exciting because if, you know what, if it's just people like me doing the same thing again and again, we kind of get lost in the same cycle. So that's something I'm actively working on, which is talking to, you know, at Ogilvy, we've got an amazing behavioral science team who basically look at, you know, how does behavioral science impact marketing and comms? So I'm trying to get them into the conversation to see how they can, you know, bring in a new way of thinking to in influence. So I'm pushing my team to be a little bit more, you know, to just kind of shake the boundaries a little bit and kind of go beyond what they normally tend to do and actually be bold and be brave, because somebody has to do it. It's big and like the future is bright, but I don't want to see the future to be more of the same. No. I think that's my main point. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Like a lot of my future, I'm very open to having influences from outside of the industry. I think that's kind of what I'm really focusing on, because to be honest, we need some new voices. We need some change, and be it from a diversity and inclusion point of view, or be it from, you know, new fields of marketing coming in to basically amp us up. It's super exciting. And I think, you know, we have to work with them. I think a lot of times, I mean, you know, something I've always said about our industry is that we tend to be very, very within our circle. We basically focus on what we have to do, get a campaign out, and then we're done. Right. And then for me, it's really focusing on these outliers to see what they can bring to the table, because that's when it gets exciting and really interesting. But it is really positive. Like, you know, like I said, like, you know, 15 years ago, YouTube was being an influencer was a very elitist job. It was definitely considered, you know, very, very elite. I think that's changing. It's already changing. And it's so exciting to see that change. Like, I'm following so many influencers who are just different and you know, kind of like go against the norm, and that's okay. And like, for the first time, it's actually okay to be that person. And actually brands are taking notice, more importantly. I think I was reading an article the other day where somebody was talking about genuine influencers. And we talk a lot about good influencers anyways at Ogilvy. So really kind of going beyond that typical, what you'd expect, kind of fitting into the mold is actually done. It's boring. You know, we don't want that anymore. We want to see who you really are. And I think COVID really helped accelerate that anyways. Like, you started seeing a lot more of people being themselves and people not just, you know, becoming this inspiration factory where everything is curated. I think we started seeing a lot more of real life last year. And for me, 2021 is where we take that and take that forward. It's not something we forget. So, I mean, hopefully we all come out of lockdown at some point. But when we do, I don't want to go back to a curated lifestyle. I actually want to have more conversations like this, you know, where we're taking the conversation and, you know, taking what we learned from COVID and actually applying that in our new normal. And plus, I think the whole influencers in Dubai incident is a prime example of, you know, consumers giving you feedback in real time. Especially 2020 has taught us one thing, which is no more of the inspiration factory, no more of the, you know, glossy content that basically makes you feel inferior. People want to see real life. And I think the people who will get that right is actually, you know, like the winners in like 2021. I think aspirational is okay, but it can't just be that. It has to be aspirational within reach. Exactly. And that's the big difference, right? I mean, Dubai is not within reach for anybody right now because of COVID. And I think that's why you saw people who were doing picnics in gardens, or yours have you, you know, like, amp up a Valentine's Day meal, like stuff like that. Or, you know, years have you do makeup for a Zoom call. Those are things that people can relate to and can aspire to. So I think that's the other big difference. The feedback loop on influencer marketing is so quick. it's so instant. You know exactly when things have worked and when things have not worked. And I don't think us as marketers, we actually use that enough. So, you know, something that also we're really excited about is actually using that feedback loop a lot faster to actually start actioning it a lot quicker. So really looking at A/B testing content through influencers is a great thing in the future. And to be honest, that's something, you know, we should be doing more of, because you can get instant feedback from people on your product or your packaging, your ad through influencers. So why not actually tap into that?
So if listeners want to find you and find more of your work, where's the best place to connect with you?
I am on absolutely every single social media platform, right? From Instagram to Twitter to TikTok to Clubhouse, you name it, I'm probably on there. So feel free to reach out to me. It's RahulT90. And if you want to look at, you know, more of the professional side of, you know, work, what we do, ogilvy.com, you know, feel free to reach out to me at rahul.titus@ogilvy.com as well. Very happy to talk to you. And to be honest, I'm always looking for a new conversation around influence. So genuinely happy to have a conversation to anybody that can, you know, keep it interesting.
Thank you so much to Rahul for being the first podcast guest. It was really nice to talk to Rahul about how he started growing up in India, and now he has been in the influencer marketing industry for over 10 years. Be sure to reach out to Rahul on his socials if you want to talk anything through with him. And thank you for tuning into the first episode of the Talking Influence podcast. We will be back next month with another exciting guest who will be telling us all about their influences. Be sure to follow and subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to the podcast on, and also share with your friends and colleagues. Join us next time for another episode of Talking Influence. Bye!